Thank you, Isabel. Hello, everyone. Good morning. I'm John Morris. It's a real pleasure to be here, and I would like to thank Isabel and Vincent for the invitation, and also Jean-Francois for all of his work in putting this incredible event together. As you've already heard, I live in the United States, where we have, for nearly three decades, promised equal access to people with disabilities in most areas of public life. Our accessibility laws have made travel accessible long before I gained a disability of my own. And so I truly owe my ability to participate in the world today to all of the people who have come before me seeking out accessibility, advocating on behalf of people like you and I. As we all know, society's work on accessibility is not finished. We've been discussing that all day yesterday, and it will continue today. There's just so much more work to be done. We know that people with disabilities are still excluded from many areas of public life, and this is especially apparent within our own industry.
Thank you.
As leaders, though, in the accessible travel industry, we have a very real opportunity to advocate for the changes that are necessary. And so I want to talk to you a little bit today about some of the work that I've been doing to improve access within the world and in travel. I have been very fortunate in that I've been able to maintain an audience due to the influence that I've achieved through my website. I'm not the most influential person in this room, and quite frankly, it's truly an honor to be here. But my direct connection to travelers with disabilities, who I interact with on a daily basis, is something that is often lacking in the government capitals and corporate boardrooms around the world. And so there are lessons to be learned from those who serve, who we serve, lessons which should make us come together to focus on making the accessible travel experience easier for people with disabilities. Okay. So this is my website, and obviously I'm here today on a panel of influencers, and people tell me that I'm an influencer. I hate the term, but essentially what I do through this website is I tell people how to travel with a disability, where to travel with a disability, and all about the opportunities that exist for us to participate in the touristic society. I catalog my own travel experiences, highlighting the things I liked or enjoyed, and commenting briefly on the things that weren't so good. When I was asked to give this presentation about my role as an influencer, I figured that I should start by defining that term. I didn't look at the dictionary. Instead, I looked inward. And I want to talk about what is influence. So we live in the age of social media. I think everyone has a Facebook account by now. Some of us are on Instagram and Twitter. And the more followers you have in this new world, the more influential you are, supposedly. I do have a lot of followers, but I don't think my influence comes from highly edited Instagram photos. It's much deeper than that. In fact, it's personal. When I first created my website, I referred to myself on the website using plural pronouns, such as we and our. I didn't want to be the face of anything and would rather have remained anonymous. But I realized that influence is created through trust. It's a personal relationship between the website's creator and the people who are using it and reading it. Just a couple weeks ago, I had dinner with a man named Paul in Montreal. He is a wheelchair user and said that my website was very useful to him because of our shared identity. By seeing that I could do something, he recognized that he too could experience that same activity or visit that same city. I've heard the same from hundreds of other readers, just like Paul. Influence is also something that's organic. I didn't become an accessible travel guy overnight. It was a long process. And I also didn't wake up one morning with thousands of followers. I built my community from the ground up and did it the right way, I think, plugging along one flight, hotel, trip at a time to earn new readers one by one. So I'm a few years into this journey of having an accessible travel website. It's not something that I ever expected to do. In fact, when I first created this website, I thought that I would just share a few tips that I had learned from a couple of trips I had taken to Asia. But I started getting emails from people who were extremely excited about the information that was being shared and had deeper questions, things that I hadn't thought of sharing before. I was still very new to accessible travel and traveling with a disability and quite frankly, having a disability when I started the website. But because I have earned the trust and support of the readers that I've gained over these years, I've also gained attention. With that attention comes influence, not just with my readers, but within the industry as a whole. One of the many ways I connect with my community is through my monthly newsletter. I don't always send it every month, but I really try to. And it reaches nearly 10,000 people. Among the subscribers are people with disabilities, their family members, caregivers, healthcare professionals, physical therapists. But there's another group as well. Employees and leaders from the world's major airlines, hotels, transportation providers, even Greyhound bus lines. And also, I should say that there are a lot of government leaders on my email list as well. And these aren't people that I've added to it myself. They've visited the website, responded to one of my annoying pop-ups requesting the email address, and they open and read the emails and follow along. And sort of, I guess I should say, since I didn't, in the time that I've had the website, it's grown exponentially, 100% year over year. And so this year, we're on track for about 400,000 unique visitors to the website. And that's something that I'm really proud of because I remember when I first started the website, I was excited to get 10 clicks a day. So we're talking about influencers here, and so I think one of the things that we should focus on is what comes from that influence. And my goal has always been to generate action to improve accessibility. And there are a few ways that I do that: education, advocacy, and consulting. And I want to talk about each of those individually. Education is really at the core of what I do. And there are sort of three tracks that plays out.
I said before that when I first started traveling with a disability, with my wheelchair, I was ignorant of accessibility in general or the possibilities and opportunities that were out there. I had never seen a wheelchair user ride public transportation, and the first public transit I rode was a metro line in Los Angeles, California. I also didn't know that wheelchair taxis existed. But because our community is growing every day, I really do believe that the most important work that I'm doing is this education, showing people what's out there, making them familiar with the accessibility that does exist in the world. I also teach them what accessibility should look like. What is an example of accessibility that meets the needs of everyone? What is universal design? I also try to supply examples of some of the possibilities that are actually open to them through travel. I ask people to think outside of the box on their opportunities. We heard yesterday that we should really be moving the paradigm or moving that the graph of what people with disabilities can actually do. We saw some incredible video of paragliding and sailing and river rafting that people with disabilities were engaged in New Zealand. And that is something that really inspires me. And one of the ways that I've shown people to think outside of the box is through some of my own experiences. If you had asked me right after my car accident, when I was trying to grapple with my new identity as a person with a disability, I would have never imagined that I, as a triple amputee, would be ziplining or riding on the back of a camel around the pyramids of Egypt. Just this couple weeks ago, I rode a helicopter for the first time. These incredible experiences are open to so many of us. And I really try to encourage people to dream big and pursue a lot of these opportunities. I think also that as we are helping people achieve things that they thought were impossible or that would escape them, we are restoring confidence in them, giving them a greater understanding of the opportunity in their own life, and I think also empowering them to become advocates for themselves. And sort of that leads into my next point here. I feel like through a lot of the information I'm providing, and particularly so for my US-based readers, teaching them what accessibility should look like, what opportunities are out there, which services should be accessible to them, I'm empowering or creating a group of people that feel very strongly about their rights. And that's something that I'm extremely passionate about. Sort of my second goal with the website is advocacy. I use my website to draw attention to issues that matter. I don't ignore issues when I encounter them, but I take each and every opportunity to engage in a conversation. If necessary, I'll bring my readers into that conversation. My website is highly visible. My articles, posts, and emails are seen by a highly engaged readership and also by many of the leading travel providers, hotels, airlines. That visibility extends to officials and governments around the world, but especially in the U.S., and also to the news media. It's nice not to be ignored. And it's nice to be able to put these important issues surrounding accessibility and equal access and human rights in the face of people who can work to change the status quo. My platform, though, would not exist without the team. And that team is actually made up of the very readers who read some of my boring articles and follow along with my adventures. They share the articles and take action when they're asked to do so, whether that's phoning a congressman or attending a town hall meeting about an accessibility issue in their area, or donating to important causes. So consulting is sort of the last pillar of what I'm doing. A couple of years ago, I got very serious about engaging with travel providers about accessibility issues. Accessible Development Group is my consultancy, and while it's quite small compared to some of the other players, I believe in the work I'm doing and look forward to future growth. I'm using my experience as a marketer, my knowledge of accessible design standards, and a vested interest in an accessible world to help businesses achieve success in the accessible travel industry of tomorrow. Another project that's part of the Accessible Development Group is ADA University, and it's something that I'm really excited about and that I've just recently put on the market. It's a new e-learning platform, a project that I've designed to target first at hotels in the U.S. The platform allows hotel franchisees to assess their property's accessibility independently, removing the high costs of on-site accessibility visits. I'm especially focused on delivering this platform to budget hotels, not just in the U.S., but eventually around the world. Earlier this year, I did a study on the accessibility of budget hotels. I set the standard at $50 a night or less, U.S. dollars. And I explored about 20 different hotels across multiple brands. And I found that essentially 90% of them, almost 90% of them, were not in compliance with the laws of the U.S. for accessibility. And so this was a concern for me because it prevented me from using a lot of the facilities in those rooms and also would have been a barrier to my readers. And so I think that giving hotels a tool that allows them to take charge of their own accessible development, which would allow them to pursue a program of gradual improvement within their budgets and other constraints could be extremely valuable to improving accessibility in the United States and in hotels and within the industry. And I also hope to expand ADA University ultimately to include all other aspects of the travel experience, for instance, guidance and information focused on tour providers, travel agencies, transportation providers, and the like. The last one, I don't know if anyone recognizes this photo. I say let's talk. I don't mean let's talk with me. I mean let's talk amongst ourselves. I tell my readers all the time when I'm just going and talking about the accessibility of travel itself, I tell them that their best resource for accessible travel information is not my website or a travel guide or an expert on accessibility, but it's the peers sitting right next to them. The other people with disabilities who they may know or come in contact with, who may have taken a trip to the place they like to go, or may have had the experiences in air travel or with hotels or any other aspect of the travel experience, who they can get firsthand advice from. I tell them all the time that I can't travel everywhere in the world, and so my website will never truly be a complete representation of the accessibility of the world. I do my best. I pick the destinations that I think will generate the most traffic and also the ones that I feel I would like to visit on my own. But I tell them again that it's important to use the knowledge and experience of those around you. And I think that's true for us also in this industry, working to improve accessibility in our communities and around the world. I am passionate about accessibility projects all over the world. But one of the things that I'm focused on is creating greater access in my own hometown. Florida is an incredible state. I love living there. But I tell people that accessible travel starts locally. It's something that, you know, before you get your feet wet or your tires wet, you need to become familiar with some of the ways that you're able to get around cities, the types of attractions and services that are accessible, how you'll cope and deal with those situations, and also maybe be tested a little bit with challenges that will come up. How will you adapt? That's something that I find very important. I also wanted to say, later today at 2 o'clock, we're going to be having a panel of accessible travel bloggers from, they're each from Europe, but they are all running incredible websites that I'm very excited about, and I'm eager to share them with you. So if you don't have anything else on your schedule at 2 o'clock, we would love to have you in that. And I think that the goal with that is to sort of dig deeper into the actual experience for travelers, and then also how these websites can interface with businesses and travel providers and travel agencies. And so with that, I am going to turn it back over, and we'll be happy to take any questions later at the end.